Hi, this is Take Charge Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. I'm here. I'm Corrine Fornari with my favorite co-host.
Oh, Carol Peterson.
Hey. So today we're beginning a series, and this series is we're going back to basics. You know, everybody loves the unique, the new, the exotic, and that's what excites them. But guess what? All those unique, new exotics are built on a base of the stable. So today we're going back to the base so we can look and understand and see how nutrients, vitamins, minerals, proteins, or amino acids support the structure and the health of our being and how to get them. We're not going to get them from our food. And why? Carol?
We're not getting all our nutrients from our food the way we used to. One time we did an excellent presentation with a speaker who made a movie about our soil. And shockingly, our soil has been very much modified. We used to have, for every plant being grown, there used to be for the lack of a better word, I'll use microbiome involved in the roots of the plant. And this microbiome would do just like it does in the human body. It helps the absorption of nutrients from the soil. What's happened now, even though we still can grow plants, we've used, and actually this is nutrients, I think potassium and phosphate and something else is in the regular fertilizers, but that helps, that's the minimum the plant needs to grow. We lack the wide array of the wonderful nutrients from the soil because that microbiome cannot live and succeed under those conditions that we've created in the soil.
Some of the topsoil went from 8 feet deep, which is a treasure chest of survival for the species, to inches deep. And that is what we have done. So the topsoil is not satisfying the nutrient needs of the food it's growing. So they're putting in nutrients. They're putting in nitrogen to speed the growth. But what is happening when you measure those foods, what you're finding out is that they're deplete in nutrients, that the nutrients have been reduced subsequent or equivalently with the weakening of the soil. So people ask all the time, well, why do I need vitamins? Why do I need nutrients? I eat quite well. But at the same time, they don't understand that many of the minerals that existed naturally in our foods, literally some of them do not exist at all, like vanadium, which helps us balance our blood sugar. And the magnesium has been reduced so significantly that we're now, the nation, 40% of us are deficient in magnesium. And that's from two things. One is that we're not eating fresh foods, which supply the nutrients. We're eating all this packaged chemical junk. But also is that the nutrients aren't available for the plants to take up. That's one of the reasons, you know, I always make a joke of this, but it's a serious joke. Every year I put my garden together and I put the chicken droppings on top of it at the end of the year. And then I go out and with a rake and a coat and gloves, I go to the water and rake up seaweed, which are very high in minerals and nutrients. And I get bags of it. I look like a bag lady out there in the winter with a big hat and a big heavy down coat. And I'm walking along, dragging this bag, and the kids are with me, helping me drag this bag, and I put it over the garden. And what am I doing? I'm making the richest soil I can make so that what I eat out of that little plot of land, it's like taking super, super vitamins. So many of
it's
us...
biodynamic farming. Yeah, you're doing biodynamic farming, which has been shown when you feed the soil, you can restore topsoil. You can restore that rich soil. That's exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. And so what... Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to have an 8-week series of looking at nutrients, where they come from, how to get them through food and also through supplementation, and why we need them, how they affect the cell. So today we're going to start on, Carol, we're going to start on the royal nutrient, but it's so humble. We forget about it, but it is literally, Dr. Thomas Levy calls it the base of life, the ability to reproduce our cells, and it's vitamin C. And why? Why is vitamin C so important, and why aren't we getting enough of it? There's lots of myths, and we're supposed to be... Always we're supposed to be afraid of things. It says one of the myths, over 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C is dangerous. Oh my goodness. And our bodies are saturated with 150 milligrams. Saturated enough to not get scurvy, but not saturated enough to be healthy. And that vitamin C creates kidney stones, which is another myth. In older times, they used to treat kidney stones with vitamin C. They say there's no science. Not true. There's thousands and thousands of articles on vitamin C and how it affects the activity of the mitochondria, how it donates its electrons to create antioxidants and release toxins. They say it that the only way to get vitamin C is the natural, and any other form of vitamin C is dangerous. So these are myths, and we're going to discuss these. Carol and I, we're going to bounce back and forth. And also, we would love your feedback, because we want to hear and be able to answer some of your questions. We're going to give out an address at the end of this show, and you can write or text us a question, and we'll be glad to answer it. This is Take Charge of Your Health. This is about you and how you are empowered to take charge of your health, your family's health, and direct your community to a healthier life. Carol, what do you think?
Oh, there's like where to start. We talked about doing this subject, and we are talking around it. And in fact, everything we are talking about was touching vitamin C. And I go, we need to talk about vitamin C. Everybody takes it for granted. It's now on the shelves of pharmacies in abundant amounts. People know that it should help you with the common cold. And that's thanks to Linus Pauling, a 3-time Nobel laureate who learned about vitamin C from some European researchers. So vitamin C is actually structurally it's close to glucose, which is super prevalent. We run our bodies on it. But there is an enzyme that human beings and only about three or four animal species lack this ability to make their own vitamin C. And we were actually discussing this yesterday. Wasn't it a cat that you were saying? A little bitty cat makes a lot more vitamin C than our minimum daily requirement for our big bodies in comparison. So something went wrong. Although there are some researchers that believe that there are some human beings who remain very, very healthy, that they may actually have retained that enzyme to make their own vitamin C. But we don't know.
We all have it. It's genetically coded that we make our own vitamin C, but it's inactive. And at one time, it was active. And animals that make high amounts of vitamin C, like goats, which make naturally 12 grams a day, just teeny little goats weighing 40 pounds, make 12 grams a day. And when they're ill, they make up to 14 to 28 grams a day, if not more. That's 80 times more than we're expected to take at our size. And it's said that goats don't become ill. They don't have any of the maladies that other animals do. But if they do become ill, they become really ill and they die. So their ability to make vitamin C is protecting them on a daily level. And that's what we want to discuss today, how we protect ourselves with vitamin C on a daily level. Carol?
Well, let's talk about what vitamin C is doing in your body. I referred to Linus Pauling and the common cold. Vitamin C is an antihistamine. Now, there are a lot of people out there. In fact, we've even given a name to this malady. It's a huge release by the body, and we call it mast cell activation. Huge release of histamine, and histamine makes your skin itch. It makes you have rashes. It makes your nose get clogged up. And I don't think enough people really realize that vitamin C is one of the molecules, when it's there abundantly in your body, it can intercept that mast cell release of histamine that causes all this discomfort. So mast cell activation seems to revolve from some sort of toxic assault. It appears often where people are having trouble with mold and mold toxins. So they've categorized this. But the key factor in here is histamine and how we can not have the excessive amount of histamine, how we can control it. So vitamin C is very pivotal here. There's much more to talk about in that particular arena. We can take this up another time. But this is a key thing, and that's why it is on the pharmacy shelves in the cold remedy section.
I remember
having a histamine release.
I remember working with Dr. Serafina Carcello, and she said that if someone's having an allergic reaction in their own home, there was a vitamin C calcium powder mix, and she'd just mix it up and have them drink it. And literally, hives that were starting to form would just dissipate. The nose that was pouring mucus would go down. At first, there would be an excessive amount, but then after that, it would just dry up. And she said very clearly, and supported by research, that vitamin C bursts histamine molecules. How many of us are living on antihistamine? Oh my goodness, it's spring. Right. I need to start taking my antihistamine, Claritin, whatever. Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, I increase your vitamin C. you might have a totally different effect. And if it has no effect, raise it. Raise the amount. And you will see a difference in terms of how you respond to the seasonal changes that you have come to expect that makes your body reactive. If someone comes into my office with an acute or even chronic reaction, allergic reaction, what do? The first thing I do is I do an IV vitamin C in a higher dose, 25 grams, 50 grams, depending, with magnesium, which helps it all go into the cell. But, you know, when you do an IV vitamin C, which is phenomenal, you build up the vitamin C, it all goes into the cells. It's just sucked right into the cells. But how long does it last? You know, it's pretty much out of the body by the next day. So although you took it in IV, you want to continue taking vitamin C to maintain the effect and keep the cells healthy. Carol?
You touched on a very interesting concept that often gets vilified by conventional medicine, and that's the idea of megadosing. So you just brought up using some very, very large doses of vitamin C IV, and yet published by our government is the recommended daily allowance is under 100 milligrams. So that's, you know, thousands of times different. But I think what it ignores when we talk about minimum daily requirements that are on the vitamin labels, this is like barely living, barely allowed to live. It will help with scurvy, and we can talk about that in a minute, but it will not address the challenges that your body's making. And if you look at human physiology and how your body works, you don't have just this tiny bit of something all the time. Your body makes many enzymes, hormones, all sorts of things. And your body will divert the production of the things it makes. Just like you were talking about the goat. If the goat happened to get sick, that vitamin C level would just accelerate like crazy. When we're talking about megadosing a nutrient, we're talking about raising the amount that you're using to address the challenges that your body is facing. And you're not getting it from your food. You don't need the recommended daily allowance. You need more to help the crisis that your body is facing. So this is a really good example of why we would want to megadose sometimes, because we actually need it where our bodies are too stressed. There's also the issue of being chronically deficient. I just read something that all-important mineral, magnesium, and how widely it is known that in our country we have many people who are deficient in magnesium. I read that if you are using magnesium supplements, it might take over a year to adequately build up stores in your body to get to where your body should be. So this is nutritional biochemistry. This is fundamental science we're talking about on how our body works. Our body doesn't work on pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, almost 100% of them are designed to interrupt some activity in our body that's like overactive and producing symptoms. But we never go back to why is our body trying to make more of this or do more of this and is producing discomfort? And what's the underlying situation? This is what clinical biochemistry does. Looks at what the root cause is. What is deficient in our diet, or what are we excessively using because we're exposed to so many toxins. That same food that comes from that soil has been loaded with insecticides and pesticides. So now when we eat it, not only is it nutrient deficient, we have foreign chemistry that our body's got to gear up and try to metabolize it out of our bodies. So we have a double challenge with our food production being so not so perfect for human consumption.
Well, I want to go back to the basics, because vitamin C is energy. It's cell energy. Vitamin C has electrons, and it, Carol mentioned it, it's the shape of a sugar. It's very small. So it goes throughout the body into all of our cells, and it releases electrons. It releases energy and stabilizes the body from toxins and allows the toxins to be released. That's why it's called an antioxidant. Toxins are oxidants. Vitamin C is a very powerful antioxidant because it releases more than one. It releases two electrons and moves throughout the entire body because it has complete access, because the body thinks of it as a sugar. So its power is the fact that it has these electrons to give and to donate. In giving out these electrons, it stabilizes toxins, which allows them to be released. So you're creating this energy balance. Our bodies are electrical energy, and this creates an energy balance that allows the body to detox. And then we have other molecules that re-energize the same vitamin C. So you have this circle that's happening. Now, there are other antioxidants, which are quite powerful, but nothing is as powerful as vitamin C. They do not have two electrons to give. They do not have the energy to give to detox. They also can't get recycled in the same way that vitamin C does. So you've got vitamin C going into the cells, stabilizing the cells, antioxidizing the cells, and moving on and getting recharged. So it's a circle that's happening that's creating health. Pathogens are one of our primary oxidants. And vitamin C can move in and detoxify them, immobilize them, so they cease to do harm. 90% of the pathogens that are in our body right now are generally from the mouth. So here we have cavitations and root canals, and vitamin C is essential to detox them and to allow the body to maintain a higher level of health. This is Take Charge of Your Health. We're today speaking about vitamin C, its importance, how it's utilized, the level we need in our bodies. And I'm here with Carol Peterson, pharmacist, and I'm Corinne Frenari, physician assistant, clinical nutritionist. And both of us utilize vitamin C constantly within working with our patients. Carol?
I'd like to jump back to scurvy.
Oh, yes.
Vitamin C is so prevalently known to relieve scurvy. What is scurvy? Another function of vitamin C is the creation of collagen in our body. And everywhere you look now, people are promoting collagen supplements, and I don't know how well they're absorbed and how effective they are. But if you go a little deeper than that, vitamin C is essential for making collagen. So in the case of scurvy, what happened with chronic vitamin C deficiency is you're unable to support your tissue. your organs aren't supported, your muscular skeletal structure isn't supported. People would have bleeding gums, you'd lose teeth, you would die. It's fatal. And this occurred with the early naval expedition. Sailors would quite frequently die of scurvy. It's very common. And there was a British scientist named James Lind who discovered that principle, that's vitamin C, that's prevalent in citrus. So he gave the Navy the idea to have a big supply of limes on their ships that the sailors could suck on, and scurvy was entirely eliminated, and it made the British Navy the strongest naval forces on the earth at that time, because they weren't simply having their soldiers weaken and drop dead like everybody else was. So it was a fundamental change, and a good demonstration with clinical biochemistry could do. It really changed it.
You know, 40% of the British Navy would die due to lack of vitamin C and due to scurvy. And those limes, those humble little limes that you're talking about, turn that around. As you very clearly stated, it created one of the strongest naval forces in the world at that time. And from a naval force that was just dying as a result of lack of vitamin C. But let's talk a little bit about where we can get vitamin C from our foods. You know, we think, oh, well, we'll get it from orange juice. But most orange juice that's prepared, even if it's concentrate frozen and you put water into it, what has happened is they've had to process it. And there's very, very little vitamin C in that liquid. Mostly it's flavorings. Now, we make orange juice fresh squeezed every day. But even still, if you make it early and let it sit on the counter, 25% of the vitamin C will be just oxidized out by the air. So you want to make it as your kids or your mate or your friends or you want to drink it. As you're walking down the stairs or you're walking to the kitchen, you want to take this fresh squeezed orange juice and drink it so you get the vitamin C. But even still, that's not a large amount of vitamin C. It's generally, when taken in that way, it's highly absorbed. But it's not really better than the vitamin C actually that we're taking in capsules. Another source of vitamin C is particularly red peppers, like the bell pepper. Well, the red ones are very high in vitamin C. And guess what? Kiwi is also, it's like 5 or 8 times, depending, higher in vitamin C than oranges. So that tartness that you taste when you bite into a kiwi, that's a vitamin C. Vitamin C is naturally tart. There's a tartness to it that you're tasting when you bite into a kiwi. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and we've just begun an 8-week-long look at and look back at nutrients and what they do to our bodies and how to get them into us to maintain our health. I'm Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant with Carol Peterson, pharmacist and clinical nutritionist. Carol.
I wanted to jump back to the collagen aspect. You can notice when people are very low in collagen and simply look at their face. I was at a conference once, and the presenter had an array of faces on the screen as she was lecturing, very much like a Zoom call would look. right now, but she said, take a look at these pictures of people and can you pick out the smokers?
Oh, yes.
It was very easy to, because the people with very advanced and excessive wrinkling of the skin were the smokers. And I picked up a book one time, and the title of the book was about smoking. And the idea is that if you have to be a smoker, at least be a nutrient conscious smoker and make up for some of the deficits that cigarette smoking is producing.
I'm just going to put this right in there. One cigarette, you smoke one cigarette, and you are blocking about 30 milligrams of vitamin C going into your cells. Go on, Carol.
Oh, so the recommendation was to have one 500 milligram capsule of vitamin C each time you smoked a cigarette.
Oh, that would be wonderful, because then you'd be in a positive.
To keep up with that deficit. But that if you look around at people too, you see wrinkling is a problem for everyone as we age. And so it almost calls for more vitamin C as we age, and some of our processes aren't working so well. I think we have a bigger demand for vitamin C in older people than we have in younger people. Our digestive systems are less efficient. Everything's working a little bit less efficiently. So where I said with mega dosing, here we need to have it. So vitamin C is so important in creating collagen. Not only good skin, as I was saying, all the organs of our body depend on collagen as support material.
Exactly, and that's why it's so important. You know, pre-pregnancy and during pregnancy, our vitamin C demands go way, way up. Why? We're creating and forming new tissue. How many people have gone in and been told to significantly increase your vitamin C during pregnancy? And yet the demands are so high in your body. The ability to make new cells is directly based on vitamin C. It helps the DNA replicate. It helps the RNA replicate. And it allows that collagen, which binds the cells together, to be formed. The amount necessary to create the placenta is tremendous. So you have very high needs in the beginning of the pregnancy, so you can build a good, strong placenta that passes nutrients to the baby. But then the baby is building. Vitamin C is essential for bone growth. It's essential for neuron growth. It's essential. Also, you know, so many of us, or so many women, have babies that are jaundiced. Vitamin C is wonderful to reduce that jaundice, but also to give to the baby. So the baby will then release stool and lower their jaundice level. So vitamin C is essential at all stages of pregnancy, pre and post, and for the newborn.
There's a German physician who was a friend of Linus Pauling. His name is Matthias Rapp, and he focused in on the cardioprotective effects of vitamin C. He also added lysine and the amino acid proline to his protocols to keep the heart healthy. And I'm reminded of going to a conference once, and the man who created the product Emergency, mm-hmm. and I'm sure people have seen this on the shelves all over the place, he took his employees to a university lab and looked at the buildup in their arteries. They were doing a scan for cholesterol buildup in the arteries. I think he had about 12 people. His his employees all had all the emergency they could eat. So that's what they were doing, he himself. So when these people were scanned, there was only one who had a little bit of plaque, just a tiny bit of plaque. Everybody else was completely clear. He had a video constantly showing the various tests for his employees. And the one who had a little bit, the difference between that one and the rest of them, that one was a smoker.
Oh, really? Yeah, because vitamin C is so essential for the health of the vascular system, the interior walls of the veins and arteries are being protected by vitamin C. You know, we talk about heart disease. Well, there's two pieces I want to speak about. One is that each part of the body has different vitamin C needs. Even within the heart, there's certain areas of the heart which have higher needs than other areas. Dr. Susan Humphreys made a statement that when a heart was biopsied, part of the heart was normal and a section of that heart had scurvy. So you had healthy tissue surrounding this part that had scurvy. That body was not getting enough vitamin C. But there's another piece. We all talk about, you know, cholesterol and how dangerous and horrible it is, and especially LDL cholesterol, how bad it is. But what really is happening is the fact that it's not LDL that's bad, it's oxidized LDL. And we know that. It's not just the LDL. The oxidation of the LDL makes it sticky. And that stickiness allows it to stick to the walls of the arteries and create that density and build up blood pressure. Well, what antioxidizes LDL? Oh my goodness, vitamin C. So when your vitamin C is high, it does not allow the LDL to become sticky. So therefore, you have a higher and freer flow of blood through the vascular system.
I'd like to switch over to another effect we touched on earlier with vitamin C being useful for colds, but we only said antihistamine. Vitamin C is a powerful, powerful antiviral. And if we go back in history, a very interesting thing happened. I think it was in the 1950s or so. We were experiencing it seemed to be an explosion of cases of polio. And all kinds of people were geared up. We got the March of Dimes, and we're trying to figure out what was causing the polio. There was a doctor, Fred Klenner, who practiced in the southern United States, and he was dealing with children, and he had quite a few polio victims. And what he would do, recognizing the antiviral and detoxifying effect of vitamin C, he used vitamin C in their treatment. He would both inject it intramuscularly into their little butts, and he would also give them oral vitamin C.
Ouch.
And in the course of a few days, he would have resolution of the polio with no long-lasting effects. He even had a twin study where one twin was staying with one parent, and the other twin with the first parent, and one twin was treated, the other one didn't, and the one not treated went on to have lifelong sequelae from the paralysis. So he went to a medical meeting and he was a speaker. He had carefully documented his successes with treating polio with vitamin C. However, at this same conference, there were other speakers there, and what they did was introduce the idea of vaccinating for polio. The first vaccines for polio were out. And so the crowd entirely ignored Fred Klenner's successes and went the vaccine route, embraced the vaccines, which we know to this day still have quite a lot of questionable success and effectiveness. So that was an interesting piece of history. We could have just used vitamin C, finished the problem, but we've created a whole industry of vaccination.
There's other things that Dr. Klenner treated with vitamin C, and these were toxic insults. And one of them is a black widow spider bite, and which can be deadly. And Dr. Klenner wrote this: there are some docs that would stand by their patients and watch them die rather than give them vitamin C. In their finite minds, doctors feel vitamin C is just a vitamin, not a cure.
Well, there we have it. I think we should talk about how to use vitamin C.
Oh, I'd love to.
We use it IV in some cases, and we can expand later on which cases, but IV vitamin C ensures absorption, but you can also take it orally. And you can take it orally in a liposome with phospholipids that gives you a little bit better absorption pattern, but you can take just the regular vitamin C, that's ascorbic acid or sodium ascorbate, the mineral connection with the vitamin C. And what you'll find when you use vitamin C orally, that after using a certain amount, all of a sudden you're getting diarrhea. So we want to talk about the idea of bowel tolerance and what you should be doing when you're using vitamin C. And if you're trying to treat something that is more critical of virus or a histamine release, what you would do is use smaller amounts of vitamin C, say 1 to 2,000 milligrams, and use that every couple hours. And when you reach that point where you're starting to get diarrhea, you don't stop the vitamin C thinking you have enough. You go down to the last level that you were at, keep track of how much you've taken in, and continue at that slightly lower level to bowel tolerance. And you can continue at that. It's definitely working. You want to get it in, but smaller doses spaced apart will allow you to keep your vitamin C levels up as your body's using it.
Now, it's important not to take buffered with calcium vitamin C, because it's buffered with about 100 milligrams of calcium, and you've got your vitamin C. So in order to get enough vitamin C, you're taking in very large amounts of calcium, and you really don't need this. The sodium ascorbate, although tremendously effective, can be a little more difficult on the stomach. But at the same time, we talk about diarrhea, but it's really not diarrhea that you're running to the bathroom and it's liquid and it's this. It is a bowel that is released, a full solid bowel that might happen twice a day as you're taking your vitamin C, which is a release of toxins. It's very good for you to have that bowel. It's not water out of control, pouring stools, not at all. And nor do we want that. We want the appropriate amount of vitamin C that allows you to pass bowel. As a matter of fact, in doing this research, I came across one researcher that said we have an epidemic of constipation. And everybody's taking psyllium and taking more fiber and taking this. And she said, in actuality, what we really could do is take more water, more liquid, and take vitamin C, and your bowels will pass naturally. And it might be that we don't have an epidemic of constipation. We have an epidemic of low vitamin C that doesn't allow the muscles to contract the way they need to pass bowel. As we stated before, different tissues have different needs for vitamin C. And one of the tissues or the organs that has a very high demand of vitamin C are adrenals. How many of us are going through constant chronic adrenal stress? So what do we need? We need more vitamin C and more B5 to allow us to go through this without creating such a high amount of oxidation. Another one of the our eyes. Our eyes need high amounts of vitamin C to be able to see and see well and have enough circulation into those tiny capillaries that get into the eye and keep the eyes healthy. Another organ that needs large amounts of vitamin C is the brain and the heart and the vascular system. Now, the muscles need vitamin C, but not to that degree. So you can have adequate vitamin C in the muscles, but not adequate vitamin C for your eyes or for your heart or for your adrenal glands because you're under such stress. So averages really don't give us the picture of our needs. And our needs change. As Carol said, as we age, we need vitamin C. As I said, as we are pre-pregnancy and pregnancy and post-pregnancy, we need large amounts of vitamin C. As we're growing, we need large amounts of vitamin C. So throughout our lives, our vitamin C demands increase and decrease, but never go to null. So vitamin C is wonderful to take consistently. Now, Carol, we know that vitamin C is being used in cancer. How does that work? Can you explain that to us?
Well, I think in the case of cancer, we have a highly oxidative process, as well as tissue breakdown. The cancer cells take the nutrition meant for other tissue, and there's a lot of breakdown. So our vitamin C is low in the tissues. Our body's actually getting used to promote the progress. There's a clinic in Kansas called the Reardon Clinic who's quite famous for the use of vitamin C IV for the treatment of cancers. And Dr. Hugh Reardon was the founder of that clinic. He was active in an organization called the Orthomolecular Society. Orthomolecular means the right molecule. And this word was coined by Linus Pauling. Vitamin C is the right molecule to be doing what you want in the body. So as Corinne referred to before, you can use vitamin C IV. The doses used in cancer are quite large, 100 grams, 150 grams, sometimes continuous IVs, depending on the patient. So it's quite remarkable the effect of this. And when you go to conventional medicine, are you ever offered a support from nutrients? Are you ever offered even a little bit of vitamin C as an adjuvant to your treatment? No, you're not. But vitamin C tends to help you with the toxicity that is the cancer, and it's quite a remarkable treatment. You can find this published. The Reardon Clinic published some of their cases. One of the more dramatic was renal cell carcinoma, which tends to be very, very fatal, and there is no good treatment for it. Vitamin C was successful in these three cases.
So, Carol, this has been quite interesting. It's been a complete or almost complete study of vitamin C, more for lay people, because it really has directed us to how it's utilized in our life rather than the electrons and the release. But there's a few things we really want to remember and understand in relationship to vitamin C. One, vitamin C is energy. Mitochondria are energy cells, just sop up vitamin C way beyond their size. But we've got to remember, our mitochondria is 20% of our body weight. There might be 200,000 mitochondria in specific cells, all of them taking up the vitamin C so they can detox and release energy for our bodies. So vitamin C is a base of our ability to function, and it's essential when we're well and when we're ill, for our parents, for ourselves, for our children. All of us should be looking at vitamin C to maintain health. Don't forget it. It's easy to forget because it's so basic. And we're all into the newest, the greatest, the best. But guess what? We don't need that if we have adequate vitamin C in our systems. Carol?
Well, we've talked about many things, the collagen aspect, the antihistamine aspect, the antiviral aspect, which is more and more a concern these days, and we should take that under consideration. But bodybuilding effect of vitamin C is essential not only to our health in any stage of life, to be a successful ager. As we age, our body probably needs much more. And since vitamin C is everywhere, it's so easy to buy it and use it, there's no reason why we shouldn't utilize this in our daily supplementation of our body. We talked about the need sometimes to megadose, go far beyond the minimum daily requirements. When we need extra vitamin C to address some toxicity, some assault from, as we talked about, infectious agents are also oxidative, vitamin C can come to the rescue, but you have to use it liberally and enough.
So I hope you've enjoyed this. This is just the beginning, and I really want to emphasize and re-emphasize that vitamin C is a base. I see it in my practice all the time. As people get better from viruses, as people get better from allergies, as people get stronger while they're fighting cancer, I see it constantly as we work with and support higher levels of vitamin C. I don't think it can be overemphasized. I don't think, although it has been said that when Linus Pauling started focusing on vitamin C, that he had really lost it. He was too old to understand. And then he went on to discover some of the most basic and essential pieces of human physiology. Carol?
Linus Pauling was quite remarkable. I have read that he used as much as 30 grams of vitamin C a day. He'd buy it in large containers of powder and just mix it in water. And as we talked about bowel tolerance, you can actually build yourself up to larger and larger doses of vitamin C without having any consequences for any type of diarrhea. It just simply doesn't happen. So he reached a ripe old age of 93 and a half. He was a brilliant man, could stand up and give a lecture without notes. Even at that age, he was quite a phenomenal researcher. And he had many battles with physicians who really tried to denigrate his message. But I think we can thank him for the prevalence of vitamin C on those shelves in the pharmacies and the health food stores, that our society really made a shift because of Dr. Linus Pauling and started to utilize vitamin C much more.
So next week, we're going to continue our look at nutrients. We're going to look at the nutrient, look at how it is expressed and needed by the body, and where it comes from, illnesses that can be hopefully averted with adequate doses, and how to utilize it in your day-to-day life. So give us a little feedback. Write to us on our Facebook page on what you want to hear. Next week, it's vitamin A. Look at how fun that is. A powerful antiviral that's been known for over 50 years that with a few cents, we can turn around many of the common viruses that we see running through our society, skipping and running and jumping from house to house. So, Carol, it's always a pleasure. I always learn when we're together, and I want to thank you.
Oh, and thank you, Corinne. And I'm so happy we decided to dive into this subject.
So
we forget sometimes the basics are the best.
Yes, exactly. And I want to thank the audience. You know, this is a labor of love, and we're sending out all our love to you. So we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.